In the name of Jesus. Amen. Bo Geertz, in his novel, The Hammer of God, writes about a conversation between two pastors, a senior, older pastor and his new, young associate. The associate pastor was ambitious, eager, anxious to save souls. The senior pastor was up in years, smoked a pipe, and occasionally enjoyed a bit of brandy. The young associate had his doubts about the strange old pastor, but he thought he should let the old pastor know what kind of helper he was going to have. And so the young pastor says to the older pastor, "I just want you to know from the beginning, sir, that I'm a believer." The older pastor looked at the young man for a moment. Then he said, "So you're a believer. I'm glad to hear that. What do you believe in?" "Well, sir," said the young pastor, I'm simply saying I'm a believer." The older pastor said, "Yes, I heard you. But what is it that you believe in?" The young pastor was almost speechless. "Don't you know, sir, what it means to be a believer?" And the older pastor said, "Well, that's a word that can mean many different things. I only ask you what you believe in." "Well, in Jesus, of course," answered the young pastor. I mean, I have given him my heart." At that, the older man's face became very solemn. "Do you consider that something to give him?" And the older pastor went on to remind the young pastor of a truth we often overlook. Our hearts are black with sin, even on our best day. Our righteous acts are like filthy rags, the Bible says. And that doesn't apply just to some of us. Some of us who did some things this past week we regret, or who perhaps have some particular burden of conscience this Sunday morning. It applies to all of us. All of us. We don't like to think of ourselves as having black, sinful hearts. We don't even like to think of ourselves as being sinners, at least not compared to some people that we know. It kind of rubs us the wrong way. That's why Jesus made people mad. But it's interesting who he made mad. The sinful people, people who are outright public sinners, didn't really make them mad because they just knew Jesus was telling it like it was. It was the good church-going people that Jesus made mad, because they didn't really want to hear what Jesus had to say about sin. Jesus says in our gospel lesson today, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual morality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." We sin because we are sinners. We like to think of it being the other way around. We like to think, "Well, I'm a sinner because I sin." No, you sin because you're a sinner. When you sin, you're just giving evidence of what's in your heart. And no one is left out of that declaration of our Lord. From the most devout religious person to the least. From the upstanding citizen to the town drunk. Sin comes out of sinful hearts. And our God cannot tolerate having sin-filled people with dirty hearts come into his presence. So what does he do? He makes them clean. He makes them holy. He takes away their sin. Jesus cleans you. He's the one who makes you holy, and you need to hear that. That's why we're in this place, and that's why it's called the divine service. The divine serves us. Us with black, sin-filled hearts. He makes holy and clean. In our confession of sins just a few moments ago, it was said, "Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we asked God to have mercy on us, and He did, and He has. He's the one who makes us holy. You may remember something very important happened in the temple in Jerusalem the day that Jesus died. There was this huge curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from other places in the temple. Now, when you think about curtains, don't think about the kind of curtains you might have in your house. Think about a huge fabric wall. It was some 60 feet tall. The pinnacle of our inside of our church here is about 35 feet. So you'd have to add another 25 feet to that. Huge, tall curtain, some 30 feet wide and several inches thick. Huge fabric wall. One day a year, the high priest could go into that place, the Holy of Holies, and there he would make a sacrifice for the sins of God's people. But only the high priest, and only once a year. On the day Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. Not by any man, but by the hand of God, demonstrating that now through the death of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice, the price has been paid for the sins of God's people and all people. The unholy are made holy. The way to holiness is open to us through Jesus. You are not expected to generate your own holiness before God, because you can't. Rather, we unholy people that we are, we receive holiness from Jesus as we travel with Him through life along the way. And that journey begins in our baptism, where God first makes us holy by washing us with water and the Word in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He claims us as His own, makes us a part of His family. God takes the initiative. Everything we need to walk in Jesus, Jesus provides. But then God doesn't just set us up on our two feet and say, well, you're forgiven, now go and live the way you're supposed to. No, He walks with us all the way. All the way by giving us His Word, assuring us that Jesus intercedes with the Father for us, that He overcomes the power of darkness on our behalf, that we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And that includes all of us. Jesus invites us to approach the Father through Jesus, standing with Jesus. And He teaches us to pray the Lord's Prayer. First two words of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father. Who teaches us to pray that? Jesus. So whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is right beside you, praying that prayer with you. Jesus is with us all along the way. He's the one who provides the holiness that we need. He even provides the armor that we need to resist the devil. In our epistle lesson, Paul reminds us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might so we can stand against the devil. And then God provides the armor. Sometimes you'll hear well-meaning but misguided Christians speak about being prayer warriors, or about standing in our own strength. That's not how it works. Our only hope of abiding and standing is by abiding and standing in Jesus. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, all that we need is provided. In fact, He's the one who gives us the armor of God. Gives us the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. He provides the gospel of peace and the shield of faith. He provides the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The simple truth is God provides everything we need and is given to us through His Word. Now, that doesn't make sense. It would make a lot more sense if we would say, well, you know, really, it depends on me. And I need to work on my own personal virtues. I need to learn from my experience. I need to try harder. That's not the way our God works. He works through His Word. He works in the midst of weakness. He works with broken hearts. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He works through the power of His Word. And that's found throughout Scripture. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Everything created by God is made holy by the word of God and prayer." God's word makes people and things holy. Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth." His word makes us holy, and his word keeps us holy. And so we come to this place as unholy, unclean people in and of ourselves, who can't get rid of our sin no matter how hard we try. We can't really make up for it. But Jesus comes to you, makes you holy, claims you as his own, says you are mine, names you as his own beloved. And in him you are holy, and when he says it's true, you know that it's true. "Create in me a clean heart, O God." He has, and he does, that we would live in him. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith, until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.